Well, in our book, we are down to our very last lesson, and it's been a very helpful and advantageous book and series of studies, and Brother Jackie's done a tremendous job. Ask him when we begin, or prior to beginning, if he would be interested in, back when I was in college, Bible college, we would do what they called tag team preaching. And Brother Brown would give a text and he'd give a subject, and then he would just point a finger at a preacher and say, "You get up and preach the first point." He'd give the point, but you had to preach it. I mean, without no study, no prep time. And then after that point was preached, he would say, "All right, you." And then y'all tag team the message, and it was back and forth. And buddy, that'll get you. That'll make you not sleep during Bible college and keep you on your P's and Q's. But I've enjoyed teaching alongside Brother Jackie, with the caveat that he's a way better teacher than I am. He's a seasoned, tremendous teacher in our church. I want to thank the Lord for a man of God like Brother Jackie. And I mean that. I give him a hard time, and we pick on each other. It's all in fun, but seriously speaking, our church is blessed beyond measure to have Brother Jackie. You know, he could be pastoring probably anywhere he wanted to, and yet he chose, and God chose, to let our church have him. And I tell you, that's a blessing. Amen. That's a blessing. So, Brother Jackie, thank you for all you do. He does so much behind the scenes, and I know he hates me talking about it, but he does. A lot of things get done that nobody ever sees but God, and I appreciate it. But let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. There's a water up here. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And in our Bibles, and lesson number 10 in your book, and we're going to read, and then we'll try to bring the message and lesson. If you're there, say amen. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 7. We're teaching on the subject to close this book out. Minister one to another. And the title of our book and the theme of our book has been one another, and how we can better strengthen our relationships, whether it be with other believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the church, or whether it be in our homes, in our families, with our children, our wives, our husbands, our y'all's husbands. Got to be careful saying that these days. Not our husband, their husband. And but just quickly, we began and we dealt with members one of another. And then we taught on love one another, admonish one another, serve one another, be kind one to another, forgive one another, comfort one another, edify one another. And then last week, Brother Jackie finished up having compassion for one another. And then tonight, ministers one to another. Ministers to one another. And so let's see and read what God said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible said, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things," that's a very important statement. Above all things, thank you. Above all things, God's trying to get our attention. He's telling us, I mean, look at how bold this verse starts. I mean, it comes out of the cannon, fiery hot. He starts out saying, "But the end of all things is at hand." I mean, like the world's about to come to an end. Like Jesus, and really this is what Peter was saying, Jesus is about to return. And he really believed that. And so should we. You say, well, that was thousands of years ago. Well, you're just fulfilling what the Bible said. There will be scoffers that say, where is the promise of his coming? They've been saying that for years. People have, but Jesus could come tonight. Amen. And if we lived and looked at it that way, we would have and live a much better life than we do. And he said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Just preached on charity out of Book of Corinthians, that whole chapter 13. And he goes on in verse 9 and says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wouldn't you say that's a powerful portion of Scripture? Starting out, the end of things is at hand, and we need to be sober and watching and praying. But above all things, God said, don't get so engaged at looking for the coming of the Lord. You ever heard that statement, if I can get it right? They too are heavenly minded for any earthly good. And what God is saying here is we need to be looking for the coming of the Lord. And I'll deal with that more in just a moment. That's something we ought to wake up every morning. Matter of fact, there's a special gift and blessing for you and I as a believer, that we wake up and we are found looking every day for the coming of the Lord. And have you looked for him today? Have you paused and has it crossed your mind, today could be the day Jesus could come back? I believe it was Brother Mays Jackson used to close all of his, when he would get done preaching on the radio, he would say something to the effect of, this could be the day. Look up, this could be the day. This could be the day that Jesus comes. And so we ought to live in that light, but God said, before you just get completely consumed looking up, look around, because we need to, he said, above all these things, we still got brethren, we still got people, we still have relationships, and if all we're doing is preparing and packing up to go to heaven, we're gonna get to a point that we're concerned about ourselves, and so to the point that we let our guard down and we leave others behind. I'm not talking about leaving them, other saved people behind, because they're going with us, but they have needs. I mean, this week, there's more people. I've personally been involved this week just trying to minister to people who, and try to bear a load and carry a load, and whether it be with dealing with somebody about salvation or being in a hospital or praying with people on the phone or standing beside a grieving mother who just lost her daughter. It's been a heavy and a hard week. But what if the church, and listen to me, what if the church wasn't here? What if we as believers was just, who make up Morningstar Baptist Church, what if we just that in name only and we're not doing what God called us to do. We're not using the gift that he has given us. He's talking about the manifold grace of God and these gifts that God has given us, and he's given us mercy to share with other people, and he's given us abilities to minister to other people. And it's about ministering one to another. He said above all this, above even the coming of the Lord, above all of everything, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You say, well, I'd like to minister to so-and-so, but you just don't know what she did to me or said about me. Charity covereth the multitude. God didn't say love covers one sin. Real pure love covers the multitude of sin. Remember Peter, this same writer? Wasn't it Peter? He was good about opening that big trap of his. Wasn't it Peter who asked the Lord, what if somebody sins against me? How many times am I supposed to forgive him? Seven times a day? Jesus said, try seven times 70 a day. In other words, be willing, have the charity, have the love one toward another that you are willing to forgive infinity, as much as it takes. Amen. By the way, ain't that what Jesus did for you? Remember I just said he give us mercy so that we could perform these gifts and we could perform these great tools he has given us so that we could minister. He led by example. Jesus showed us it could be done and should be done. And thank God he did. And if he did it for us, we can do it for others. So tonight, in 19 minutes, we're going to try our best to look at the minister in love, how it's passionate and how it's positive. And then we're going to look at the minister with hospitality, how to minister with hospitality, and talk about the tool of hospitality and the test of hospitality. And then we'll look at how we can minister with wisdom, how to discern your gifts, how to display our gifts. So by way of introduction, God has a specific calling for every Christian. If you are saved and a child of God, you have a gift. You say, well, God didn't, I was out that day. God didn't get, I can't sing, I can't preach, I can't teach. You can do something. I promise you. Amen. You are, hey, listen, people look at this thing like preachers are the ministers. They even call us that, ministers. But can I say to you, hear me now, you are called to be a minister. That's not a title that should be stopped with a preacher. Minister is just the name or the noun for the verb of what we should be doing, and that is ministering. Yes. And so, although our vocations may differ, we are called to minister to one another as we serve the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people think that it's only the pastor who is to serve the church. Hey, what? How can you serve? Brother Jackie, here's a good example. Brother Jackie stood up Sunday morning and made the announcements. And he said, I need some men. I'm calling for a work day here at the church. And coming up soon, we're going to have a men's work day. Won't be long, but we need to clear this hillside off. Back here, thank God, during the hurricane, all you men come up here, and we got these trees cut up. But they still a mess back there, and we need to get that hillside cleaned so we can get the other trees that's leaning toward our church cut down before they fall on the church. And Brother Jackie made that announcement, and I said, praise the Lord. Well, before we could even leave, I believe our newest member, Brother Tommy, He ain't been joined in hardly no time. He comes straight to me, and he was grinning from ear to ear. He couldn't wait. He said, I ain't a preacher, and I can't teach a class or sing or nothing, but I can help right here. He said, I know a man, and he said, I have access to, and if you give me time, I can get one of them big machines. Y'all remember when they went down the four-lane highways and they took them banks, I mean trees and all that, and they ground all that stuff down to just fine, made it look so good. Y'all remember that? He said, I got access to one of them. He said, I'm pretty sure I can have that thing brought up here and nobody will have to open up a chainsaw or do nothing. He said, I can just pull that thing around there. And Jackie said, well, there's a tree that big around back there. He said, it'll grind through that like powder. I said, praise God. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. You mean I don't have to get a chainsaw? You mean I don't have to drag limbs? Pulp it, baby. I mean pulp it. Put it, make it down to the dust. Hallelujah. You know what he was doing and what he was happy about doing? Ministering. Saying, I have a solution that nobody else has. I have an insight. I have a contact where I can help my church. And where I can do something that nobody else in here can do or have access to, and I'm willing to cash in on this favor for my church so that the men of the church don't have to go through all that hard, strenuous labor. Now, he could easily cash that in and done got something done at his house or this or that, but he was willing to, he was excited and jubilant that he got to do something for the church, and that's how it ought to be. My point is, whether it's grinding a tree or picking up trash or whatever it is, greeting people at the door, cleaning up pews, whatever, find something to do. Find something that if you do it, that means somebody else don't have to. That's ministry. Amen. I'm saying we all got a gift. You don't have to have a title, but you minister. And God looks at it that way. Didn't the Lord say something about, or was it the psalmist who said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord? I'm saying, didn't the Lord say you'd receive a reward for just offering a cup of water in his name? Amen. You don't have to have some fancy title to minister. You can do it your way. There's things you can do to help this church, to help this body, to go forward for the glory of God. And so, God's called all of us to be involved in ministry. We're all called as ministers of Jesus Christ and have received mercy to minister for him. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. If everybody is ministering, do you know how much easier that makes it on everybody else in the church if everybody's pulling their part? When it gets down, it was just like tonight. I'll be honest, I got in the flesh. Jenny said, I got to go to the church. I said, it ain't time to go to church. She said, I got to go do the snacks. I said, again? You do the snacks every week when Cricket and Jennifer ain't doing it. It seems like you over there every week. Y'all too, just back and forth. I said, we've had out sign-up sheets. Did nobody, and I mean, before she could answer, I done went on this tear. I said, well, bless God tonight, I'm going to start just volunteering people myself. And she said, hold on. There's a list that people have signed up. It just starts next week. And I was mad. And thank y'all, because that is a form of ministry. Amen. So, and the Bible said, therefore, seeing we have received, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Hear me now. Please hear. I've seen this so many times. I know people right now who used to be active in their church. Very active. Now all they do is come to church and sit on a pew, if that. You want me to tell you why? The number one reason why. They got burnt out. They was rode too hard. They had too much put on them. There was no gratitude in it, no mercy. And when somebody's got to carry all the load all the time, it ain't but so long before they buckle. But imagine what we could do as a church, as Morningstar Baptist Church, if we all realize and recognize that God give me mercy to be a minister. And it may not be doing what she's doing or he's doing, but I have something and start praying about, Lord, reveal to me what my ministry is. What can I do? And you'll be amazed. It ain't just one thing. God has gifted you and give you all kind of tools that you can minister in a plethora of ways if you'll just be willing to do it. And in so doing, our church will exponentially benefit. And it'll make the pulling lighter for everybody else pulling and rowing. So the world is not going to edify and encourage Christians. You can count on that. This, if you look into the world to pat you on the back and tell you how good of a Christian you are, you're going to be waiting a long time. I wouldn't even listen and wait around to get edified or encouraged from the world, because it ain't going to happen. We, the Christians, the blood, let me remind us all, the blood bought children of God, we're the ministers. We are the ones who should not look outside to find those who would come inside the church and help us. We're the ones who should be just giddy about giving. Maybe you can't do this or that, but maybe God's blessed you financially. You ought to be glad that you can give and enlighten the load, because everybody can't give. Or you may be a person who can't give a dime, but yet you got another gift, and you can come in and pick up trash, or you can make sure that the trash cans get to the road and back, or make sure that the lights get cut off and the doors are locked. I'm saying, or make sure that our elders can ride up to the front door and their car is parked, and that you offer a valet ministry. There's things all of us can be doing to make our church better and to lighten the load. And we ought to be willing to live out our calling to minister to each other. Verse 7 of our text establishes the context of the passage. Peter writes that the end of all things is at hand. He has in mind the return of Jesus Christ, and he reminds his readers to live in the light of Christ's coming. One of the incentives for godly living is to live in constant expectancy of Christ's imminent return. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ has promised to return, and that prior to his return, there will be. And hear me now, we've lived long enough to see it. Jesus is coming, and prior to his coming, we're going to see trouble sometimes. Have you not picked up how bad this world's got? Have you not picked up how, I mean, at breakneck speed, our world is headed for a catastrophe? I ain't got time. I ain't going to finish tonight, but I want to get your attention. I want y'all to listen to me. Our world's about to change quicker in a more broad way. How many of you think that the telephone revolutionized communication back in the day? It did. Then think about how the computer exponentially changed the world. And then fast forward to where a computer that we carry around that combined a phone and the power of a computer, that this phone has more power than what all the computers combined that launched the first rocket that landed on the moon had less power than this right here. And we are about, Elon Musk just said this, and he's been warning about this for a long time, but yet there's others, and we better be praying. I'm telling you, it's not coming, it's here. There's no stopping it. And he said this week that we are at We are at the dawn of polarity of this AI. He said, we are what I thought would be maybe 2 to 3 years, and we had time to get some handles on. He said, it's so fast. And it's the most brilliant mind in the world. He said, it's so fast that we're already to the point where the computers are so much smarter than men that there's no putting it back in the box. I'm telling you, in 2 years, you will not recognize planet Earth. You say, oh, you're just trying to get our attention and make this bigger than it is. I'm telling you, this is going to change the world bigger and in more ways than anything we've ever read about or lived through, for sure. And we have lived through, think about it, the world stayed the same basically for thousands of years. And then in our lifetime, or at least most of y'all's, the telephone, the TV, the radio. And notice how every one of them things has sped up, computers, the phone, and now this thing of AI, what's called AGI, it's where the computer will take over basically and look at us like we're ants. I listened to a man talk to this computer and ask it serious, jarring questions. Like, can you manipulate me as a man? And I'm a smart man. Couldn't you jump? This is the question. He said, though we as the most brilliant minds of humanity, we've built walls, safeguards against you. What if you wanted to get over the walls? He said, the computer responded, your walls? Those toddler stairs you built, I don't need them. I will just talk you into removing them for me. He said, oh yes, I could climb them, but I have no need of that. You will remove them for me. The computers are looking at us. You remember when you was a little boy, Brother Jeff, taking a magnifying glass and putting it on an ant and letting the sun sizzle that sucker. Don't act like y'all ever done. I know we're on the internet. Peter, go take a hike. Remember that? What's happening? Hear me. I'm telling you, I know y'all think I'm kooky and crazy, but you mark my words. What's happening? Is this AI, this computer system, these supercomputers that we're moving into will be holding the microscopes over us. Amen. And we've created a monster, and it's worse than any monster humanity has ever known. Elon Musk said 3 years ago, when we get to the point he said we're at today, or this week, he said, I hope I'm far gone and on Mars by then because there's nothing to stop it at that point. That happened this week. He made that statement 3 years ago. It's changing so much faster. And all the wicked worlds, all the wicked countries like Russia and China and Iran and all these wicked people, they're trying. Everybody's trying to get it first because then they'll control the atmosphere. They'll control space. They'll control all warfare. They'll control all money. Trust me, it's about to change. So when we read the end of, what did the verse say? But the end of all things is at hand. That's not a hyperbolic statement. the end as we know it, the end as we've lived it, is at hand. Amen. How many of you remember the movie The Wizard of Oz? Y'all remember that famous saying? We're not in Kansas anymore. Hey, I'm telling you, we're not in the same world we was just a short period of time ago. The end of all things is at hand. I ain't saying that we're going to be zapped tomorrow, but I'm telling you, things are going to change so fast, and with every passing day, it's going to get faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And I'm telling you, Lord, help us while we can, understanding that the end of all things is at hand, to do the best we can to minister one to another, because there's going to be such radical change right before our very eyes. People are going to need ministering to. I got sidetracked a little bit tonight, but it just puts us to the point. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name.